Please stand up and tell your neighbor and maybe a few rows back and forward of you hello and just greet them for a moment. Hi, Gabe. Kind of like this. Ugh. Okay, all right. Good morning. Well, you guys think you came here to have fun this morning? Have a seat, for goodness sake. Hi, Tyler. It's good to see you. Well, it's really good to be here. I hope you're having a blast. It is, I think, what we're supposed to be doing when we're together, enjoying one another, smiling and laughing. I know not everything can be a smile and a laugh, so we'll carry that too with one another, right? But we are in this together, and we could really learn from being more like this. So let's pray together, and we'll get pressing with the service. Father, I want to thank you for this day and all the blessings, Father, that are ours because of you. And Father, my mind and my heart is still flooded with wonderful songs from worship. And wonderful voices just chattering with one another here this morning as we smiled and laughed and hugged, shook hands, gave five, maybe got smacked, I don't know. I'm just thankful to be with this family here, Lord. You're good, very, very good to us. And Father, thank you for the hearts, all of our hearts, Father, that you're moving closer to you. That's a great work, but you're a great God. And so we know that you are about your business in us and pray that you would continue to do that and pray that you would do it even as this sermon time is going on. So probably, definitely, you'll need to move me out of the way so you can do what you would do and pray that you would do it well, Father. We love you and we praise you and we thank you. You're good and we love you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. I don't know what has this pressed on my mind so much. Here the last few weeks, the thought keeps coming back to me about bearing fruit or being fruitful in the kingdom of God. And I know on Wednesday nights we've been talking about that a bit here and in different areas. And if you've not been here on Wednesday, I want to encourage you to come out. We have a blast, a shameless plug for Wednesday night service, which is very good for all of us. And we miss you. And But I'm not sure if it's that, if it's just conviction or encouragement from God himself, or when we were in Honduras seeing all the aquaponics and all the different things that people were doing there to try to grow food for themselves. It's really neat to watch, but for some reason this keeps pressing on me. And whatever the case would be, that I want my heart to be ground soil, as Luke would say up here. I want it to be really, good soil. I want God to do his work in me and that he would keep changing me. So that's the stuff we want to talk about this morning. And so I'm going to read. It'll be up on the screen. Also, you can read along for a moment, and we'll get started. Again, Jesus, this is in Mark chapter 4. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out of the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. Making sure I'm going to the right place here. Hang on, I'm a little earlier than you. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. Some fell along the path. We'll start up here. As he scattered his seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. And you're all familiar with the story, I know, but hang with me. This is some good stuff. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that it did not bear grain. And still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." And this is a strange teaching here, as Jesus is using the farm setting to teach them spiritual truths. And some of them are wondering, like some of us, what's he talking about? I don't get it. I mean, I kind of get it, but I don't get it. And so he goes on and presses them a bit further here. When he says, "And then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. And he told them, 'The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven.' And Jesus said to them, 'Don't you understand the parable? How will you understand any parable?'" And Jesus is talking about this thought that there are those who want to have the beauty and the riches of the kingdom of God without snuggling up close to God himself. They would like to stay on the fringes and on the outside and enjoy the great blessings of walking in a very personal relationship with God. And so he's saying, it's a bit masked. The whole reason I'm telling these stories is so that you would hear and be confused, and then it would really mess with your intentions, the intentions in your heart. Do you really want this? And if you do, then you would walk a little closer, snuggle up next to Jesus and say, "What are you talking about? I don't get it." But if not, you would think you knew and walk away thinking that you're a wonderful follower of Christ, very messed up in your egotism and your perceived learning. And you'd walk away thinking you had it, and you would be far from the kingdom. Far from the kingdom. Not sure where that came from. Sorry. And so then he says, this is what the parable is about. The farmer sows the seed. And some people are like seed on the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they fall away quickly. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seeds sown on the good soil, hear the word, accept it with joy, and produce a crop, some 60, 30, 60, and 100 times that which was sown. Now you hear this story, and you understand the parable a bit better because he has told us a bit more what it means. And what's happening here is Jesus he's trying to do something in the world in his time, and as God has called back his children from their captivity and other things, he's trying to move them into this world so that he can share the message through them. But he's got a lot of work to do. He's got a lot of work to do. I mean, you hear the story. He has done all this great work from the beginning of time, and even as he said about Abraham and all of his, as we would call them eventually, the children of Israel, as he set them on their journey and walked with them and taught with them, and they stumbled and fell and stumbled and struggled, even through all of that, it ends up that he is here with them, bringing them back from captivity and still trying to teach them some very important fundamental truths about the kingdom. And what he's got to work through in order to get them to be light and salt, salt and light and all the things, is he's got to somehow deal with hearts that are like path and hearts that are like rock and hearts that are like thorny areas, so that he can make them the good soil so that they will bear the fruit that he's called them to bear, because that is really who we are. Your whole existence, the reason you're here, is to be a fruit bearer. You are Jesus in the flesh today. You are a field bought by God, and he wants to feed the world with us. And so our whole purpose really is God alive in us, bearing fruit that so that the world can eat. Here, you hungry for Jesus? Eat of me. Hey, you thirsty for Jesus? Drink of me. I will share him with you. And so in that time, he's trying to do this with them, and he's dealing with all of this stuff. And if you go back and just hear, you don't have to go back, Jacob. I'll just say, so there are four soils that he's dealing with, right? He said there's a path. And he's talking about it, some of this, as the farmer is sowing his seed. And it's a beautiful image of the farmer, right? I mean, a beautiful imagery here. As you think about God lavishly just casting out his blessings, his seed, desiring that all have and all grow and all have opportunity. And some fell along the path, not wasting it, sharing it lavishly, and it's eaten by the birds. And Jesus is telling them, now here's what I want you to remember. That is like as soon as they hear this, Satan comes and takes it away. He takes away the word that was sown in them. I mean, it hits the path, and Satan's like, you don't get that. You're not going to hear that. It's a hard. They've got a hardening of the heart. And they says some fell among rocky places, where it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up and the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. And in his explanation, if you remember, he said, this is like those guys who hear the word and at once receive it with joy. They're like, yes, I like this. This is really good. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And then he says there's others in the kingdom there as he's trying to get them to better places that are like the thorny soil. They grew up and I mean, when he planted them, they fell in these rough places where thorns grow. And it says they grew up, the thorns grew up and choked the plants, and they couldn't bear any grain. And then other people he was dealing with, his explanation was, I jumped ahead of myself there, sorry. He said those people are like those who hear the word, but the worries of this life. You hear him? The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. And then there's others. There's good soil. And when the word hit them, or when the seed hit them, it blew up. I mean, every farmer wants this, right? 30, 60, 100 times what you planted. This is good soil. And the desire that Jesus has is he wants them all to be good soil. So he's got to set about an amazing work of turning each soil into something better, each soil into good soil. So he's got a lot of work to do. And let's be sure of one thing, and this is where a lot of difficulty comes in for us as we try to transition this lesson into a story from Jesus' time to a story of our time with Jesus still working in our hearts, because that's what it is. And the deal with this story is none of the good things in this story are going to happen on your own. You can't make your path soft. You can't plow it up. You can't will yourself a more fertile soil. And if you're honest with yourself, this is how Americans think, especially Americans. I will do better. I am determined. I watch the Disney Channel. I know I can do anything I want to do. I will follow through. I watch professional sports. I know I can adapt and overcome to any situation. I am proud that I can do this. And this is one of Satan's greatest lies to us, is we can do this better. And so we set about trying to make our path less packed down, or we set about trying to clear our rocky soil, or we set about trying to rip out all the thorns in our lives, and while we're over focusing on one, everything else is blowing up somewhere else, in hopes that we can will ourselves into being good soil. We can will ourselves into being someone people like, or that God could use. And it will never happen like that. This This message is God's message, and this work is His work, and you are His field, like it or not. I mean, if you're His child, you're His field, like it or not. Getting to the liking part would be a whole lot better for us. It's where the blessings lie. It's where all the hope is. And so as long as I'm a field thinking I am my field, well, I'll get what I deserve. Can I clean up my field? No. Can I make the paths off? No. Can I get the thorns out? No. Can I get the rocks out? Can I make a good soil? No. Can I make a way to sit with God for eternity for myself? No. Welcome to those who are begging that God would make this His field. Because that's all of us, right? We want to be His. It is the hope of this life and eternal life. So then we have to settle in for a moment then and think what this story really means to all of us. And interesting to me is how we really discard a lot of the story, thinking that this is about the world and heathens and the lost. Because it's really not about the world and the heathens and the lost. It's those God's calling to be His children and who are His children. And so here's the wrestle I have. When I think about the path, the first thing I think about when Jesus says a farmer went to sow his seed, and he, as he sowed his seed, as he cast it out there, some fell among the path. My first thought is hard hearts who want no part of Him. Interestingly, Jesus told a couple of stories. One, He was feeding 5,000 people. You remember this story? This is really cool. They're all following Him, chasing Him everywhere. They want to be wherever Jesus is, and that's what we want, right? We want to be wherever Jesus is, and these people, they want to be where Jesus is. And it's, they're so flocking Him that He gets in the boat to go to the other side of the lake, and when He gets to the other side of the lake, they're there also. I mean, they're hustling. They're beating Him to the other side. And so after He teaches for a while, Philip comes up and he says, hey, we got to do something. They are hungry. Send them away to buy food. He says, you give them food. We got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus takes the 5 loaves and 2 fish and feeds over 5,000, 5,000 men, it says, plus women and children, something like that. And 5,000 people are fed, and then He gathers it up. There's 5 baskets full. He sends them away. 8 baskets full, sorry. He sends them away, and the disciples, He sends the people, but He tells the disciples to get in the boat and go on to the other side of the lake, and He goes and prays, and then the storm comes. Remember the storm, right? Because He's on the lake, and He sees them struggling in the storm, and then He walks on the water to them. And as He's walking on the water to them, they are scared to death. I mean, they're really, really, they're already scared because they're in the storm, but then they see Jesus and they're really scared. And the scripture says they were afraid, for they had not understood about the loaves, and so their hearts were hardened. They're on the boat, they're in the boat, they're in the storm. Jesus has just fed 5,000 people. He just kept breaking the bread and breaking the fish. He just kept breaking the bread and breaking the fish. And they're watching the whole thing, and they're handing out food, and they're watching, and they're handing out food. And then they get in a boat, and a storm comes. He sent them there. He sent them there, and their minds are going to die, or something's really weirding them out, so they're scared. And then when He's walking on it, they're scared even more. It's a ghost or something. And when He gets in the boat, the scripture says they're wrestling because they had not understood the loaves. Their heart was hardened. Now, these aren't bad guys. These are good guys. These are the good dudes. They're following Jesus everywhere, helping Jesus, being Jesus, serving others for Jesus. And they have hard hearts. They just watched a miracle, and they can't believe what they just saw. I mean, not like they can't believe, wow, but they won't believe. This doesn't fit. I know this doesn't work like this. This isn't supposed to work like this. And so I can't believe it. Ever been called to believe something that you can't believe? Jesus ever push you just a little bit out of your comfort zone? I don't know how to explain this. This doesn't look like it's going to end well. You just believe. You keep believing. You keep buying in. You keep giving it up for Him. But it's hard heart, man. It's hardening of the heart. we Christians can't live on only what we see and what we hear, what we taste, what we touch. I don't remember if I got them all. But we can't live by only our senses. We have to believe, right? And these guys, they were in the boat, man. They're there with Jesus, and they're not believing. They have a hard heart. And so today, the press for us is, are you a path? I know he's called me to be all in, but I have bills. I know he's called me to be all in, but I can't send my children. I know he's called me to be all in, but I have an image to keep up. I know he's called me to be all in, but. I think one of the hardest things for us is that path is path. And what Jesus says path is a place where the seed drops and the birds, no. Satan comes in and steals it away. And while my voice is going out even now, we're distracted, right? And while the word is going out right now, we've got an iPod or we've got a pencil and paper, or I'm just thinking about what I'm going to do afterwards. And the crazy thing, Sean and I talk about at camp every year, of course we can't grab toys away from people, but we'd love to take all the iPods and say, you can't listen to crazy music until the word of Jesus settles. And listen, I have 10 gigs of music on my telephone. I love music. But it can't go in here until he goes in here. I'm too easily distracted. I comfort myself too quickly. I'll leave the church parking lot and someone will tick me off. And Satan says, gotcha. So on the path, James got a hard heart. The crazy thing about all this is they all exist in us all at the same time. The path, the rocky soil, the thorns, just different places. And Jesus is trying to clean them all up. But part of us is path. Jesus tries to do something in me, and I realize it, and I'm convicted by it, but someone bothers me or ticks me off, or I put in the music, or a TV show comes on, or something else happens before the word settles in, and I allow it, and so I stay hard. The rocky soil, if you would press on. In Honduras, it's interesting what happens with rocks, because I'm sure this is what part of this country used to be like. We're trying to build a house. See that rock right there? We couldn't put in the beams because that rock was in the way. So Jordan and I, it's Jordan, I'm using the big spud bar, and Jordan's using the post hole diggers, and I'm jabbing down because everything's got tons of rocks. You just had to bust up and move around, and I clank down, and it's clank, and hit again, clank, and I hit over to the side, clank, anywhere near where that pole could go, clank, 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 and David says, that rock's got to come out, clank, clank. That rock is huge. And the soil is packed in, and there was about 30 rocks around it that were big enough that you couldn't just dig in. I mean, it took like 2 hours to dig that rock out. And by the time we got around it enough to dig it out, he and I, our arms were burning up that we couldn't get it on it. Well, we couldn't have gotten it anyway. It was so huge. And so we called in the heavy artillery. Jordan's right behind me there, going puffing and huffing. And there's little Jared McCray, little fella. I mean, we thought we'd give him a moment. We're thinking he might grow up one day. And grow into him. So, I'm kidding, man. He's awesome. And then Tyler shows up and Tim Gamp. And those boys lifted that rock out of there and threw it over to the side. And then here we are trying to dig some more of that. And it was just a lot of work. If you'd press on, Jacob. And here's another place here, trying to build a house. And there are all kinds of, there's so many rocks everywhere. You cannot just stick a shovel in the ground to dig a hole. Next slide. And then we're trying to work with this church building. If you click again, Jacob. Okay, that's fine. You can press back one. We were trying to work with building a church building, and we had to move so much dirt that it was like waist high, and about as far as, Sean, if you would hold your hand up there we go. About from him to me, we're moving all of this dirt so we can dig up a tree and fill in the floor for the church building so that it can be poured. And all of it's rock. And I tried to walk across the hillside to go to one of the areas where the guys were working, and as I'm walking, I'm stumbling across all of these rocks, because not like, I mean, there's a rock here and a rock there, it's all rock, and they're all moving all the time, and And the places that have crops, they've picked up all these rocks and they've built fences with them. And you see these incredible waist-high fences just along the countryside there. Beautiful fences. Waist-high, 2 feet wide. Just really cool-looking fences. Marking boundaries, marking property. And the process of moving rock is laborious. And it takes a lot of work. And you can't do it by yourself. You don't have the time or the ability. It takes family and friends to move rocks so that people can grow crops and build church buildings and build houses. And everywhere we've built in the mountains in Mateo, and every time we've gone there and we had to climb up the hill, you're stumbling across rocks and they're trying to grow crops in the rocks. And so in the story, you hear Jesus saying some of it fell among the rocky soil, and it sprang up quickly because the soil is really shallow. I mean, it could get up quickly, but because it had no root, it quickly faded. And the word was, when trouble or persecution comes because of the word. I mean, I could like Jesus. I could really be a liker of him. I could have a love for him and really want what he wants, but also want me enough that when this thing starts to be a hassle to me, my heart just starts to shut off. This doesn't fit with where I'm trying to go. This doesn't work with what I'm trying to do. And so I start to wilt and I start to fade. And he's pressing us that it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work to soften a path. It takes a lot of work to till up a path. It takes a whole lot of work to make a soft heart, our hard heart, soft. And it takes a lot of work to clear out rock. It takes some determination and some settling in. But you don't become productive in Jesus' field without work. Without his work. And it is his work. And then there's the thorny soil. And in Matthew 13, 24 through 30, we have this neat passage here. As we're thinking about thorny soil, I want you to think about every time you've pricked your finger on a thorn, man, and blood's out of me, and it's sore for like 2 or 3 days. Now, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. And when the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat and with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at that time I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them into bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" And you hear this struggle here. You know, everything isn't God's intent for our lives. Some of the seed fell among the thorny places. He's casting out the seed that it falls among thorns. And I was reminded of this story that not everything in our world is of our own doing, right? I mean, some of us have some great pain that we didn't put on ourselves. Some of us have some real difficulties in life that we didn't ask for. And we were walking on, as we would say, the straight and narrow. And this just blew up in my world. And some of us, we're there because we walked with eyes wide open, right? But here's the thing. Whether by your doing or by someone else's doing, your field is not producing fruit. The field isn't working the way it's called to work. Whether it's by your choice or somebody else's, whether you've done this or someone else did this to you, there are thorns in your field. And it's choking out the fruit that Jesus wants to bear in your life and bear in your heart and in the world around you. There are people starving for food, and we're nursing a grudge. There's people starving for food that Jesus will produce, and we're harboring bitterness or struggle or whatever. And as we harbor that, then turns into greater things to where we're pulling other folks in, and we do the great G word, gossip and slander and struggle, the stuff that is just so terrible to the kingdom. And we say, but no, your field's it's contaminated. And we need to allow Jesus to, and I need to allow Jesus to start coming in and start pulling up some weeds, some thorns to clear out the thorny ground. Now, we understand that he's talking about harvest here. We're talking about good soil and things like that. You can press on, Jacob. But the reality is we have a soil issue, and we need Jesus to clean it up. There's one other soil, and it's the soil that I really want to be. The path isn't feeding anybody. And Jesus has a heart to feed the world. And he has a heart to feed the world through you, with you. Their friends and neighbors and clerks and people working everywhere you go, when you're on vacation, when you're on a mission trip, when you're driving down to Subway to get a sandwich or a pizza. And they need fed. They need feeding. They need food. They need nourishment. And the path doesn't feed anybody. Neither does the rocky soil, and certainly the thorns don't either. There's one soil that produces fruit, and it's the good soil. It's the soil that the farmers go in and take years cleaning it out. They get the rocks out. They work on spraying and putting the right nutrients in so that it will be a rich soil, so it will grow a crop that they wanted to grow. And when their farm runs by the banks of a creek and the spring floods come, they work extra hard cleaning trees and trash and car parts and everything out of their fields so that it can work like it's supposed to work. And Jesus comes along into our lives, and he starts doing the same in us. Through time in his word, time in his word. It's incredible to be struggling and run to the word for a scripture to encourage me today. That doesn't change my soil much. It encourages me for today. If Jesus is going to make my path soft and take the rocks out and remove the thorns, I'm going to have to hang out with him for a while. He's going to have to be allowed to walk back and forth over me, on me, through me. As David would say in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Isn't that the call? That he would do in me whatever it took, so I would have to somehow, I need to spend time with him in the word. I need to be in prayer. I need to be in prayer a lot. And I do need to pray for my family, and I need to pray for my friends, and I need to pray for the things that are pressing on me. But I also need to pray that he will help me see me, that he will reveal me to me. And so then I can think about you, and I can think about others and how my relationships are, and so then he can start pressing back on me and say, dude, there is a path in you that is hard like asphalt, and we've got to really do some work in there. It's like concrete. I'm gonna have to get a jackhammer in here and mess around with you for a while. And here's some rocks, and it's gonna take a while to remove these rocks. I'm gonna need a spud bar. I'm gonna need some really strong hands, and we're gonna have to go to work for a while. And these thorns, they keep poking people. They keep hurting people and harming people. We got to get rid of these things. In the word, through prayer, and time listening and meditating on his word. And he'll start applying the nutrients, clearing the property. And he'll start doing what he says he would do. In John 15, Scripture says, Jesus is talking, he says, I no longer call you slaves because a slave does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends because everything I heard from the Father I made known to you. And I appointed you to bear fruit. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will last. And my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things, there's no law. And those don't happen overnight. Those don't happen because I told myself I'm going to be better at it. There's too much garbage in here to allow me to will myself to a better place. No fake it till you make it. No self-help books. Just Jesus and a whole lot of work. But it's good work. And the world is fed from good soil. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this the blessing of hearing from you today, of looking in your word and just reflecting on ourselves. And Father, I pray right now for all of us. Father, all of us who love to talk and hang out, all of us who love a good CD or radio station or pulling up an MP3 on our iPod, whatever the deal would be, that today you cause us pause for a few minutes. So we don't pull up Facebook and Twitter and everything else until we let you settle into us. God, you're so good. You are our very life. And every breath we've taken while we've been here, everyone came from you. Every time our eyes batted to cause moisture to flow so we could see one another better, it all came from you. The ability to hear my voice, it's from you. Help us to take time to hear you for our spirit, God. Because this is the only thing that's living forever. And we want to live, really live, with you and for you forever. We love you, and it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. If you desire to respond to the invitation in any way, if you want to become a child of God, there's going to be an elder on either side of the auditorium, and they would love the opportunity to immerse you into Jesus, and you would begin a wonderful new life in him. Or if you're struggling with this stuff or anything, they would love to hear from you. I assure you, you have a friend in them, and they certainly are a friend of God. So whatever.